This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we know Derek Stingley Jr., the latest NFL player to get a record-setting, market-setting deal. Three years, $30 million a year get tacked on to the last 2 years of his rookie deal. So he's got this year. Next year would have been his fifth-year option and will be. And then the three years after that, he's making big bank. And most of it's guaranteed, $89 million of it guaranteed. Here was Nick Caserio. This is back on February 19th. Let's now go back and look. Should we have seen any tells or heard any tells from the Texans GM when on this very show we asked him about Derek Stingley getting a new contract about a month before Derek Stingley got a new contract?
We're always open-minded. You know, we'll have dialogue at any different point, you know, when it's appropriate. I mean, he's one of the best corners in the league. I don't think this is like some mystery here. So Derek's a good football player. He's improved, I would say, quite a bit from his rookie season to where he is now. So, you know, if we have the opportunity to keep really good football player here for a period of time, you know, it's certainly something that we're going to explore. Those things take time. Nothing comes to fruition all at once, but Derek's earned the opportunity here, so when those conversations and the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage in that dialogue. I think Derek's made some comments, the fact that he wants to be here for, you know, a long period of time, and you know, we want Derek to be here. So nothing's really linear. These are never linear. It's just A to B. So, but it takes a little bit of work, takes a little discussion, but he's eligible, and you know, when the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage with his representation. But glad Derek's here. You know, hopefully we can keep him as a Houston Texan here for a long time.
So the interesting thing about the Stingley contract is that the real big money doesn't kick in genuinely for two more seasons. So when it comes to re-signing, or when it comes to signing guys in the short term, like potentially free agents or maybe a Danielle Hunter one-year extension or something like that, it doesn't really hurt you there. But I wonder when Nick said, we'll talk about it at the appropriate time, I kind of felt like, in my mind, at the time I was reading that into, okay, this is probably something that gets done in August or something. They'll wait and see how free agency turns out. At some point, either David Mulligetta approached the Texans or the Texans approached Mulligetta. And between the combine was just a few weeks ago and now, they got this deal done. How can I read into that more than I should? Is there any chance at all that they wanted to get this out of the way for any reason other than, hey, staying ahead of the market and being sure they don't overpay or anything? Is there anything that would involve this particular offseason that this helps out?
I can't think of anything, Seth. As I was listening to that cut, I started thinking about Nico Collins getting his contract extended with a year still left on it in May of last year, still pretty early, like before even the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp is over. He's got that deal done. And now Derek Stingley Jr. gets done a week after, you know, like a week into the period that you can get it. They got this done almost ASAP when you think about it. I think more about what you're talking about. Like, Nick, this is where you should be encouraged if you're a Texans fan, I think, is that it appears, and these Nico and Stingley are also both Nick draft picks as well. Like, so we're starting to get into this phase now where guys who were handpicked by Nick are getting these extensions. The Texans are going to be the opposite of the Dallas Cowboys. The Texans, if they see a guy who is deserving, who does the right things both in and out of the building, both on the field and around the building, you know, is I think being present in the offseason is clearly a big thing for both Nico and Derek Stingley Jr. Stingley pointed that out, that was a big reason why he was optimistic it would get done, is because he's done all the things that Nico Collins has been doing, and he saw Nico get a deal done. That's the thing that I'm most excited about, is that Nick's making these guys a priority and that he's getting these deals done early. And I'm telling, like, that Stingley deal, we're going to be having this, the same thing we've been saying about Nico, who all of a sudden went from being like the sixth highest contract when he signed it to like the 13th highest in a year.
It's kind of a weird dynamic where being financially conservative sometimes in the NFL means being the first person to spend big money.
That's exactly right.
It's the opposite of, hey, when a new piece of electronics comes out, where, look, the irresponsible thing is to be like, I need that $10,000 TV now. So true. And then within 2 years, that same level of technology is $1,500 and you can get it at Walmart.
Yes.
So it's the opposite in the NFL, where the players keep changing, but the price tag is going to keep expanding. Yeah. And by being the first person to give an aggressive deal, the chances are, more times than not, somebody's going to eclipse that deal very, very shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to guess a little bit about what the going rate is, but you kind of also dictate terms in that now that this deal is there in $35 million a year is the $30 million per year is the number. That's what Sauce Gardner is going to want. That's what each ensuing defensive back is going to want. So, and if they don't get it, it's not going to be far off from it. So you kind of hedge yourself and guarantee that you're not going to overpay by the market standards by being the first one in.
Well, and it's going to apply to players that aren't necessarily top of market players too. I think that a big reason why Nick did the Tytus Howard extension when he did at $18 million a year, which at the time was like, wow, $18 million a year for a guy who's never, you know, been to a Pro Bowl, you know, but you've shuffled him back and forth from left guard and right tackle. I think part of the thinking was probably, you know, tackle is a position that is getting more and more expensive every year. And if we get a guy who's just a better than average tackle at $18 million to play right tackle for us, not left tackle, that's pretty good. The problem is that Tytus Howard has not lived up to that deal. You know, that's the thing is, you know, the guys, you still need the guys to play well to be saying the things that we're saying about Nico Collins and Derek Stingley Jr., you know? So
yeah, there's also, when you pay somebody that you feel a certain way about, you're just comfortable with them, and you extend them, it's never as simple as, okay, I don't like this guy and I don't think this guy deserves this that much money. So you let him go, and then it's rarely as simple as, so we just draft a guy to replace him.
Right.
All right, well, you're about 50% of first round picks work out. So you're gonna,
good luck.
You have to, on average, you're gonna spend two first round picks trying to find a guy to replace somebody you release off your own team.
That's right.
And sometimes the more conservative and safer thing is to sometimes pay a little bit more than you'd expect right up front and keep somebody in the building.
Here was Darius Butler, former cornerback in the NFL. He's a regular on the Pat McAfee show. The Stingley deal came down, I think, right? It came down during our show yesterday, so within an hour of McAfee's show starting. Here was Darius Butler with his breakdown on the Derek Stingley contract.
Derek Stingley Jr., he's a little different. Even as talented as that LSU 2019 team was, a lot of people that you talk to in that building around that program said that this is the guy. This is probably the best guy on the roster, and he's lived up to it. Outside of injuries that kind of plagued him throughout his college career and then early on in his NFL career, but he's been healthy. He hit his stride last year, been a first-team All-Pro. Five interceptions, played all 17 games. He could do everything. He could play off. He could play man. in. You can leave him on an island. He can come up and tackle. But his ball skills, I think, separate him from the pack. Patrick Surtain Jr., defensive player of the year, phenomenal technician, can do everything as well. J.C. Horn, once again, another guy who, if he stays healthy, he'll continue to be one of the best DBs in the league. But Derek Stingley Jr., him and Patrick Surtain right there, 1A, 1B, as far as best cornerbacks in the league go.
I'm more impressed with Darius Butler as a guy breaking down players on television than I am with Derek Stingley, I think. It was Darius Butler. I think he was a guy that when he was a player, he would pop up sometimes on shows and you'd be like, is that? That sounds like a former athlete who's been doing broadcasting
right.
for a while.
Yeah.
When it comes down to breaking down player evaluations and everything, he sounds like a guy that may or may not have been an athlete. But I think the thing you hear consistently from defensive backs and defensive back coaches and all that is you hear the word pure. Like, he's a pure cover corner. I think he plays with a level of technical skill and physical aptitude that you just really don't see that much or that often. So I think a lot of cornerbacks themselves are fans of Derek Stingley because of the purity of his game, that he can do everything that Darius Butler was just talking about. Any different aspect of the game you want him to play, he can do it. Plus, unlike the old saying, hey, defensive backs are defensive backs for a reason because they don't have ball skills, he does have ball skills
as
well.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun if they get him a couple plays on offense this year. Just, you know, just for the hell of it. I just want to see what it looks like.
I like it. Yeah, I do like it as a wrinkle. Yeah. I miss using J.J. Watt as a tight end on the goal line just because
he was good.
A genuinely good tight end.
Yes, yeah.
He had the best hands of any of the tight ends out there. It wasn't like he was – defenses respected him as a receiver on those plays. They knew, and they would cover him. But he was making catches – when he was covered, it was really, I don't know why they went away from that.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been that he had like 19 torn groin tendons at any time.
He didn't. At that point, though, like they stopped doing it. Yeah, you're right. 2015 was the year where he played the whole year, but his body started to break down. That's how good he was. He had like 10 different injuries in 2015 and still was the defensive player of the year that year. Like, that's how great J.J. Watt was, man.
It would be fun. With Stingley, just a couple plays on a couple of packages that you spring every now
and then. That's it, man. Just scare the other team a little bit.
Hopefully when you're ahead by 28 against the Colts.
Yes.
Really do it in an unsportsmanlike way as much as possible.
But something that won't get his head handed to him. Like, don't run him over the middle so one of those like jackass podcast linebackers takes a shot at him. It's or something like that, you know.
Yeah,
35-3 game. Derwin James, he is a course safety, Pro Bowl safety for the Los Angeles Chargers. He was on Good Morning Football yesterday as the Derek Stingley news came down. Keep in mind, both of these guys, David Mulligetta guys. So here was Derwin James as the news is coming down about Derek Stingley Jr.
Derek Stingley Jr. has agreed to a 3-year, $90 million deal in Houston.
Shout out your guys. David Mulligetta. Shout out those guys.
That's your guy, too?
Yeah,
and
right,
Derek Stingley. Athletes first.
Athletes first. Shout out the guys. Man.
All right, $89 million of that is guaranteed. This, according to our Ian Rapoport.
Wow. $30 a year? Ooh, DB's getting paid like that. Wow. Whoa. I think the last DB was just getting 25 or something like that. 30.
Derwin, you're into this. Stingley. What makes Derek Stingley Jr. good?
I mean, we played him in the playoffs. I think he had like a pick or two against us. I mean, he's able to guard your number ones. He can do it all. He can cover, play zone. Got good ball skills. Some of the best ball skills at corner. All-around player.
All-around player, man. Derek Stingley Jr. Yes, it was
David
two.
David Mulligetta Club sounds fun.
Plenty of money.
I had said yesterday that it's not like all of his clients are superstars. He does have guys that aren't necessarily demanding to get traded or what have you. But a pretty big chunk of them are superstars.
Yeah.
It's him and Will Anderson's agent,
Nicole Lynn
from Clutch Sports.
Yes.
They've kind of risen up in these last few years. I don't want to say from nowhere, but it was quick. It was a very quick ascension. And she does it more, I guess she hasn't grabbed as many headlines necessarily, but she's got a lot of clients that are big, big money. Well, Miles Garrett
is one of hers, yes.
Miles Garrett being a notable one.
Yep, yep, for sure. Just looking at Derwin James' contract situation. You still got 2 years left on your deal, Derwin. Unless you want to agitate, you could hear the saliva dripping down his face. Oh, DB's getting paid. DB's getting paid. You got two more years left on your deal, buddy. All right.
You know who's Mulligetta client is Jordan Love.
He is.
Yeah, he he's like, what, he signed a 3-year deal?
He signed.
He got paid, but it was more of a, it was a halfway deal.
Was it? Yeah, I remember it was $55 million a year. I don't remember the number of years. I want to say it was a 5-year deal, but I may be off on that.
I thought it was like a little bit subdued from the rest of them based on just short service time, but I might be completely
wrong. Yeah, it may very well be. Payne and Pendergast with you. Guys, great show today. I just have a thought to share. Do you remember when Mixon said there were going to be fireworks this season? I think he wanted a fullback, and by God, they got him one.
He said this offseason, right?
Yeah, this offseason, yeah. So,
Jordan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mixon, all right. I feel like Mixon has toyed with our emotions a little too much. He's done this a couple times. He said he knew Nick had something cooking. He said that right at the end of the season, mm-hmm. right? And then he said there's going to be fireworks at some point right before. And I feel like he primed the pump more than he should have, to the point where he flooded the engine.
Yeah.
I was willing to think, like, okay, maybe he knows something. Maybe it's something to do with T. Higgins or something. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. And then it ended up being some reasonable moves. The fireworks were really Laremy Tunsil being traded.
Mm-hmm.
But
which he did not approve of, according to an emoji that he put out there. Joe Mixon. Yeah. He put a sad emoji out there. Jordan Love signed through 2028. So yeah, he's multi.
Yeah, and at $55 million a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. No, he got the full Monty
yep.
there.
Yeah. Four, yeah.
I got to get Mulligetta representing me.
4 years, $220 million is what he got. Jordan.
Yeah.
Love.
There's nothing modified about it. The total guarantees. That's what it was.
Okay.
It's not quite up there. He had $160 million in total guarantees.
Oh my God. How's he gonna survive?
Yeah. How do you walk into the Mulligetta Club with your $160 million guarantee?
With your head held up, yes.
When Josh Allen and Joe Burrow got $220 million out there.
Dak,
yeah.
So there you go. Derek Stingley Jr. still talking about it today. Good for him. And we'll see what Nick Caserio has cooked up next here this offseason. College basketball tournament gets started as a group of 64 on Thursday. We get some playing games tonight. The sliminess of the whole thing is on full display right now. This was in the Pettycast earlier. This is the Pettycast leftover segment. This is Pettycast After Dark. I've got a petty from the NCAA tournament from one of the athletic directors. There is a state that is even more petty about this than I am. A full state. And we'll talk about that. We'll discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. College basketball tournament gets going on Thursday. If you text in and say, Sean, who do you got in your bracket? I have no answer for you for that. I've not filled out one yet. I will.
You've got 7 hours of homework this afternoon.
Dude.
You're filling out your bracket.
It is a lot of homework. You know what I need? And I watch some college basketball. I don't watch a ton. I don't watch enough to where I feel comfortable telling you guys who to put in your bracket. I'm not going to fraud my way through a segment on that. If somebody does have a recommendation of like a podcast that's maybe 60 to 90 minutes long, that's giving out who their sleepers are, who's like, I'm open to suggestions of respectable opinions on this whole thing. Now, the one thing we can always count on with college sports, Seth, is the slime factor. That the fact that it's a selection committee picking the football playoff and the basketball playoffs, the brackets, the tournament. It's fun because there's shenanigans, or at least narratives that create the belief that there are shenanigans. This year's for the men's basketball tournament is the last team in, which is North Carolina. They're going to play in a play-in game here at some point. They're going to play in a play-in game in the next day or two. I don't know if they play tonight or tomorrow. But they're going to have to play their way into the 64. It was apparently down to North Carolina and West Virginia to get that last spot. We should point out that the committee chairperson is Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director at the University of North Carolina.
Yeah.
So the optics of this are sketchy at best, right? If you're just casually watching this going, wait, hold on a second. The guy who is leading the group that picks the teams that go into this very lucrative tournament,
yeah,
is the athletic director of one of the final couple teams that have a resume to get in, to which I would say to you, faithful listener, yes. And I would add, he gets a $104,000 bonus if his team makes the tournament.
he gets a $104,000 bonus if the committee that he is on votes his team into the tournament.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting.
Tony Soprano approves, yes.
I'm no legal scholar, Sean, but I sense a conflict of interest here, okay.
Bubba Cunningham's like, we're going to get this bid in the tournament, and I'd like three no-show jobs and three no-work jobs, please. It's total mob stuff,
it's almost, it's too obvious to try to pull off, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things where I'm skeptical, and they did... For whatever it's worth, he was removed from the part of the voting process where he would have personally pocketed $104,000.
Yes. Yeah, so. He was. He confirmed this with, it sounds like this is Seth Davis asking the question, I'm guessing on the selection show. I didn't get to see the show on Sunday. And Ben, we're not going to play this whole cut. I'll down cue you on this. But this was Seth Davis asking Bubba Cunningham about the optics of the whole thing.
I am very familiar with all of the protocols and procedures inside that committee room. You guys go to great lengths to make sure there are no conflicts of interest. You are the athletic director of the University of North Carolina in your day job. So it's going to be a natural question for people who don't know all those procedures to ask whether North Carolina may have gotten a little bit of an advantage that their AD is a chair. So I'm going to invite you to answer that question, and then maybe if Keith could shed some light on that discussion.
Well, thanks, Seth. And obviously, I'm going to defer that to Keith. But, all the policies and procedures were followed, and Keith can address exactly how North Carolina was discussed, because I was not in room for any of that.
Okay, so you can down cue it there. Give this Keith, who's the, the next in charge, went on to say that, the Bubba Cunningham was not involved in any of the votes for who got in. It was voted on by other people. As Bubba said there, he's not allowed in the room. Here's my thing about it getting voted on by other people, Seth, is Bubba Cunningham is around these other people.
He wasn't in the room when it happened, nobody ever influences anything that goes on in a room where they are not.
Right.
Never seen anything like that. No. He wasn't in the room where it happened. Like, it's all cool. We're all good. No, he was in the lobby of the hotel.
Right.
At least 25 yards away from where we are when we were voting.
Yes.
Did we talk to him immediately beforehand and immediately afterwards? Yes. Is there security footage of us giving him a high five and then making the money sign like Johnny Manziel?
Yes.
Of course. But you all are reading into that way too much.
Can you imagine all these old white dudes sitting there doing the old
pelvic thrusting
Manziel
their way out?
Meanwhile,
the AD there is handing out gift cards to whatever AD's, like Kinko's or something.
So Bubba Cunningham not in the room. Now, West Virginia, I would imagine as a state, but certainly as the politicians in West Virginia, none too happy about this. I have no idea the name of this particular West Virginia politician, but he is hopping mad about North Carolina getting picked over West Virginia.
And I've asked Attorney General McCuskey to launch an investigation into the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to determine if any backyard deals, backroom deals, corruption, bribes, or any nefarious activity occurred during the selection process. I know that the Attorney General and I are going to leave no stone unturned during this process.
I'm rooting for this guy.
America really has an appetite right now? Spending on non-essential things. I've noticed it's hugely popular. Hugely popular. every politician is very much feeling like, sure, we're wide open to spend lots of money on investigations into you grandstanding and whatnot.
Yes.
Let's do it.
We need a full committee to investigate this. And I don't think they're going to find any bribes. I do think that there's plenty of influence that a guy like Bubba Cunningham can have on a committee without being in the room for a vote, without actually voting himself. And I always wonder this, Seth, like, why do they do this? Why do these sports have someone in a sitting position of influence with one of these schools head up these committees? I don't understand.
I think it's one of those things where there's lots of situations in life when it comes down to institutions or anything, there's always going to be conflicts of interest.
Yeah.
Anybody that does high school sports, when you have to seed a tournament where the coaches all get together,
yeah,
and you know, there are always conflicts of interest, mm-hmm. I guess. So. Yeah.
Everybody's got biases. I mean,
I don't like the way the NCAA does it with the football tournament. I don't like people that I feel like they barely know what the hell's even going on in football, and they're making decisions about who the best teams
are. I think they're just as happy that shows like this are talking about it in any way right now. My other problem personally with Bubba Cunningham, he was, I believe he's a Notre Dame alum. He was in charge of ticketing when I was a student at Notre Dame, so he's been around a while. I have a big problem with anybody that uses their given nickname by their buddies or whoever as their name out in the business world. Like, you're in a sophisticated position of prestige, athletic director at a big state university that's got a very proud and rich history, and you're walking around with the name Bubba through the building. You don't even look like a Bubba. You're shorter than me.
That's the thing, though. Like, in a lot of places, though, Bubba is a standard name. It isn't just the nicknames. Like, they might have been called Bubba because his grandfather was Bubba or whatever. I mean, but he was born in Flint, Michigan.
Right.
That's a... If he was born in Flint, Michigan, he went to Notre Dame. Yeah, you're not allowed to be Bubba. If you're not from the Deep South,
right?
I don't think you should be allowed to be known in business settings as
Bubba. Yeah.
That needs to be something that's kind of seeps into through your skin, to your soul, through your grandpappy at some point.
No.
I call fraud on him.
On Bubba?
Just by virtue of him being a guy from Michigan whose name is Bubba.
Yes. We got to get to, as long as, because that was a leftover from the Pettycast. Do you want to hear this Mike Francesa?
Mike Francesa, the original blowhard New York sports radio dude,
yes,
who many of you only know because he has hilarious audio at times with his really thick New York accent.
Yes, it pops up, and he was the afternoon host on WFAN since the inception of the station until a couple of years ago. He now has a podcast that is sponsored by Bet Rivers, which is a gambling company, I believe, and it streams live. I'm not sure if Mike Francesa knows that it streams live, though. This is Mike Francesa. Apparently, one of his staff got into his ear while he was doing a segment about the Big East tournament and gave him some bad information, so he went off on them.
You're wrong about that. The title goes to who wins tomorrow. They are the regular season champs, but that's not the championship for the title. The title, the trophy, comes to the winner of tomorrow night's game, no matter who it is. They have to do that, because otherwise, why the hell have a tournament? If St. John's had already won the title, what are these 4 days for? So whoever said that is wrong. The championship of the league is decided tomorrow night. That's the title. That's who holds up the trophy. Whoever wins tomorrow night cuts down the nets. That's how it works. So whoever said that doesn't know what they're talking about. All right? Now let's go back and start this over again. And I don't want to hear you guys in my headset, okay?
Okay. Let's go back and start this over again. So he's yelling at his staff.
Who the hell is on his staff that didn't know that?
I don't know. But or they may have said something and he misheard it, whatever it may be.
Okay, yeah.
He heard something, whatever. Trust me, that 30 or 40 seconds you heard was the tail end of about 2 minutes prior to that of him going off on these guys. Like, it's wrong information you're giving me. It's wrong information. It's not the title.
And then he said, let's start this again. Let's try this again.
Yeah.
This is a live stream.
Live stream.
Where there is no, there's a live stream. Commercial break. You're not recording. This is a live stream, Mike Francesa.
It's a live stream. Yeah, this is him realizing, oh, wait, we were live this whole time?
We'll start over again. We broke off the air, didn't we? We're live? This was all on the air, just yell at you guys? What? You got to be kidding me. You guys have got to be kidding me. All right. I apologize for that outburst, okay, folks? All right. I didn't realize we were live. I thought we were taping this.
Mm.
Okay. That's my mistake. I didn't realize that. Now, so this is going to go viral now because I yelled at you guys.
That's right. That's right.
You realize that?
Yeah.
You've just gone viral. That's right.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I'm not buying it. I think it was all intentional.
You do?
I think he's pulling.
You think he's that cagey?
I don't know. Maybe somebody suggested to him, like, hey, you know what Howard Stern does? He yells at his staff, or at least back in the old version of the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes off on his staff and everything, and people like feeling like you're getting a peek behind the scenes. I this is the objection I have to Mike Francesa as he tries to make his way in this new digital world.
Mm-hmm.
You have a staff?
Yeah, man.
What, a staff? This is where when traditional radio folks or traditional TV folks try to be like, hey, let's do what the kids are doing, where they screw it all up. They get these, they create these gigantic budget shows for a format that does not need a gigantic budget. Part of the charm of a podcast and everything is that it's very sparse and minimalist.
Yes.
Right? I've seen Rogan criticize some young podcasters before for their ornate sets and everything, where Rogan, it's like him and Jamie, and then whatever else it takes to handle $100 million a year or whatever they make. But like, it's a pretty bare bones production.
Yeah.
These people act like they're broadcasting from CBS radio during World War II or something.
Dude.
Like, no, it doesn't. You have a staff? What the hell?
Where
do you get off having a staff on any type of show these days?
Well,
just get out there and talk, Francesa.
And that it's that for a format like this, that it's a staff that's, they're all speaking through his ear.
Yeah.
God forbid they should have a voice on the show. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. God forbid, like, you hear a voice off camera or
yeah.
something that just
yeah.
shouts something or yells something.
Yeah. Or has a microphone, maybe, and just says, hey, Mike, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. That was good. I was glad we still had some crumbs left over from the Pettycast. I'm glad we got those shots in.
I love watching anytime. This is my joy. Anytime the dinosaurs from, like, the way media used to be, where they genuinely thought of themselves as up on this pedestal, preaching down to the masses. Like, whenever they get taken down a notch or 19, it's hilarious. It's, like, when they realize, it turns out I was always full of crap, and that anybody with a computer and the internet can prove me wrong at any given moment. Damn it. These guys used to be able to just spew whatever nonsense they wanted to out into the ether without anybody calling them on their BS.
The barriers to contesting them on anything were gigantic back in the day.
Oh, wait,
now there's
a call. In the real world where you say something dumb, as I tend to do, you're going to get called out for it multiple times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bob Nightingale was on with the guys on Area 45 last night. Bob Nightingale covers MLB for USA Today, does a great job. Where are we at with the Cam Smith situation? Bob Nightingale shed some light on that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, final segment. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop, find out what they've got going on. Bob Nightingale was on Area 45 last night. You can listen to Area 45 nighttime here on Sports Radio 610. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, they do an excellent job. Really good night show. And they have Bob Nightingale on pretty frequently. And Bob Nightingale is an MLB insider, covers MLB for USA Today. And the big talk around Astros spring training right now, with about 9 days until opening day, is will Cam Smith make the opening day roster? If he does, it'll likely be as a right fielder. He compares the Cam Smith situation with the Padres' Jackson Merrill situation.
Let me ask you, because this is picking up more and more steam. Today there was a report from Will Kunkel here in Houston on Fox 26 that he heard there's a good chance Cam Smith is going to make the opening day roster. Ben Verlander put out a tweet about Cam Smith, you know, being the opening day right fielder. Are we really going to see a guy with 19 at-bats above A-ball starting a position he hasn't really played for the Houston Astros in 2 weeks?
Well, you know what? All you have to do is look at the San Diego Padres from a year ago. Jackson Merrill had not played center field since maybe Little League. He was a shortstop. So they say, you know what? We don't need a shortstop. We need a center fielder. So he started playing in spring training, and he should have won Rookie of the Year. I mean, unbelievable year. So if you're a good athlete, it can be done.
Yeah. And Jackson Merrill was an all-star for the Padres last year.
But he was also drafted in 2021.
Yep, he had a little more seasoning.
Yeah. I mean, so he'd been playing in pro ball for a spell, and obviously the college experience matters, and Cam Smith isn't, it's not like he's coming right out of high school. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's as direct a correlation. It is certainly not impossible. I think that right now it's more of a matter of if you want him to get any seasoning at all, and do you want him to throw him right into the mix without having all of the minor league experience that Jackson Merrill had, to not just being a batter in Major League Baseball, but also playing a position you haven't played before.
Yeah.
So I understand that, yeah, it's possible and teams have done it, but this is a pretty quick turnaround. It's still less than a year since Cam Smith was playing actual college baseball.
Yeah, the part that Nightingale is focused on in that cut right there is the part that I'm less concerned about. Him playing defense in right field. Like, I mean, you know, there may be some bumps in the road, but I think Cam Smith's a really good athlete who will pick it up pretty quickly. My bigger concern is what you just talked about, Seth, and what Patrick was kind of leading Bob Nightingale in with that question is like, okay, this guy has not faced a ton of he's not had a ton of professional at bats, period, at any level yet, let alone above A-ball right now.
Yeah. So yeah, because Jackson Merrill played in, you know, single A in rookie league in 2021, A-ball in 2022, and then double A in 2023. Yep. It's a pretty normal progression there. So he didn't have a boatload of experience, but he was in the system and came up through. I'm still skeptical at this point. I don't think that it's not that he couldn't do it or that he never would do it. I just think that there's not really a pressing need or demand right this moment to advance him at warp speed through the system. And I do think they're going to give Chaz a chance with a short leash. Espada just flat out came out and said that it's a shorter leash this year. But they're going to give him a chance. And meanwhile, you're going to give Cam Smith a chance and most likely Double A, where I don't like the Jackson Merrill comp. It's just not, there's too many differences there.
Okay, well, brace yourself, because Jackson Merrill gets brought up again in this cut, but Nightingale said he's been hearing some of the same things that have been out there about Cam Smith making the opening day roster.
It feels like it's crazy to me that he's got 19 at-bats in Double A. I mean, he's been a pro for 3 months. He's got more spring training at-bats than he has Double A at-bats. And you're asking him to learn a new position. It seems like that's an awful lot to put on a kid's plate.
Well, it is. But like you said, Jackson Merrill, I think he only had, I want to say, 37 games above A-ball and did that. So it can be done. And, you know, teams like to move guys quicker up now. You know, before, yeah, you better spend 4, 5, 6 years in the minor leagues. That's not the case anymore. So, I mean, obviously, if they do this, and, you know, I hear the same thing, they will. You got to have the mental fortitude to be able to do it. And they must know that, hey, if he can't cut it, if they have to send him back to minor leagues, he can handle it.
And that, now, that last part I was thinking about, too, is, okay, well, they, you know, Dana Brown and the Astros have a better beat on what failure by Cam Smith at the major league level would do to him, at least how they feel he may, you know, how he may, because there's always a concern, right? Oh, you're going to bring the kid up? And he's going to fail, and it's going to ruin him, and it's going to take him 2 years to come back from being a failure at the major league level. They're around him more on a daily basis and probably get a better idea of just how mentally tough he is, maybe.
Yeah. No, and I think that it's – I'm just – I don't have – I guess the question would be, are there people in the fan base that really feel a pressing need or drive to see him immediately? I think it would be something that would be exciting if they did, but – there's no part of me, when you're thinking about a guy that you'd like to be in the organization for at least 6 years, possibly more, for him to be up right now, that this is what you got to do. And I think even Dana Brown, who will accelerate guys through quickly, he wants to see some level of a sample size. So again, with Jackson Merrill, yeah, he had 40-some games in Double A. He had 68 games in High A ball in Fort Wayne last year. And then he had 2 years of professional experience before that, going back to 2021 and 2022. It's night and day. And in those years, would have had time at spring training and what have you. Like, Jackson Merrill had a whole lot of time to become a professional baseball player. And if there were a pressing need or demand right now, it would be cool to watch Cam Smith do it. But is it that hard to just give him 40 or 50 games in Double A or less, and just be sure that you're smoothing out all the rough edges, give him some time to play right field in actual games, all of that? It doesn't make a lot of logical sense to me why they would force the issue right now.
I guess we'll find out when the season starts and we see what the bottom third of the order is doing with the Astros. You know, like
it's
a big, dark, gigantic black hole from spots 6 or 7 through 9 in the lineup, then there will be, and Cam Smith is doing things at Double A like Yordan Alvarez was doing at Double and Triple A back in 2019, where everybody's like, get this guy up here. He could clearly hit anybody. If that stuff's going on, then the drum beat will be loud for Cam Smith.
I wonder how it feels to be. I wonder if there's any part of Chaz McCormick's brain where he's kind of like, gosh, this kid's whole immediate future is hanging in the balance of whether or not I can actually hit going at the beginning of the regular season.
He'd be right.
Obviously, he's not consciously thinking about it all that much, but it really does. A lot of it just rides on Chaz McCormick and whether he can be more like the guy he was in his first three seasons versus the way he was in his fourth season.
Yep. Last one here from Nightingale. If Cam Smith is the right field starter, is McCormick on the chopping block?
If Cam Smith is the starter in right field, is Chaz McCormick basically on the chopping block?
Well, fighting for a playing time for sure. Obviously disappointing. You know, just as a, you know, put up the numbers or you know, worthy of playing time. So yeah, I'm not saying he's gonna get released or anything like that, but you know, you're gonna give playing time to the guys who produce the most. and he hasn't done that. So very possible. And, you know, now it's a young man's game, too. You know, if he, you know, if he's not, you know, putting up the numbers, they'll grab a young guy that can.
Chaz is on the chopping block. Then he falls into that category of guys on title-winning teams that will always be remembered for at least one play. We'll always have the catch in Game 5 against the Phillies. For that, you will never buy a drink, Chaz McCormick. There will always be a drunk Astro fan nearby to pick up your tab because of that catch. Don't worry.
That would be a good power ranking to do in July or something on a slow sports day.
Like the one-hit wonders?
One-hit wonders for Houston sports teams.
Yeah.
Who big moments in championship games or huge games where it did something that will live forever, but that, you know, that on the sum total of it all, they weren't necessarily all
writing
that
it down
players.
Right now, Seth. I'm putting it on the list. I like that.
That looks like that's a Houston press post for you.
I just looked. I've been writing for them for nearly, for 15 and a half years now. I guarantee you I've probably done that post at some point on the Houston
press. Think so?
Oh, probably. I bet
Look at
Google.
You. You're like a coxman who can't remember his conquests. You're like, I've already hit that topic, Seth. I don't even remember what she looks like, really. But
we have to say that. Penn's got a confused look on his face.
it's a word they used to use. Coxman.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Just got used again. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things that doesn't seem like it should be appropriate, but it is.
That's why I'm wondering. That's all. What's up, fellas? John Lopez, Reggie Adatula.
Like pussyfooting. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You got to be direct.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't be doing that.
Reggie hates when I use the term "put your finger in the dike."
Okay.
It's a term.
It's
common.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, when the water by the way, that C word that I just used, maybe I shouldn't have used it.
Yeah.
It is vulgar slang.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have followed you down that path then?
Yeah.
Yeah. A man reputed to be extremely virile or sexually accomplished.
Seth is mysteriously out tomorrow. We now know why.
By the way, Chris Burke. Is on that list?
Chris Burke for sure.
Abraham Toro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for making the play in the Verlander.
Where the bleep is Toro?
This guy's more accomplished than those guys as a career, but Eddie Johnson in the 97 playoffs, the shot he hit. I mean, it sucks that they didn't go on to win that series.
Yeah.
Sometimes what happens after something big like that dictates how big, you know, it retroactively. Even things like Jose Altuve's home run in Game 6 to beat the Yankees and walk them off in 2019 is partially ruined for me by the World Series that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little tainted by the fact they lost the World Series by going 0-4 at home against a 93-win Nationals team.
I wonder if, John, you'd be a good one to ask on this one. Do you think the miracle on ice would have sustained in its legend if the U.S. hadn't gone on to win the finals against Canada after that?
I think no. I think it would have been just an incredible moment. We beat the Russians. We beat the Soviets, all that stuff. But you got to win. Everybody talks about the gold. People think that was the gold medal.
Well, I was just going to say, there are millions of people walking around thinking they won the gold medal.
Who did they beat?
Finland?
Yes, okay. Very good.
Oh, was it Finland? Yeah, I said Finland. Canada. I don't know. I got it in for Canada right now, I guess.
Well, join the club.
They actually beat Finland for the gold. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right, question of the day today.
Oh, yeah, baby.
This is a good one.
Oh, yeah, baby. What is your favorite? Well, let me just read it verbatim how we put it on the document. What's your favorite rarely seen play in sports?
Okay. And
based on the intentional missed free throw last night.
By Jabari. Yeah.
I've got a bunch, but I'll save mine. I want to hear yours.
Okay, I've got three. Mm-hmm. We got one for each big sport.
Very nice.
Well, actually, no. I got a soccer, a baseball, and a football.
Okay.
Football, I love the Fumblerooski. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they've made the State Farm commercial where Andy Reid, in a very likable way, is going, Fumblerooski. I like stealing home in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then in soccer, I like the throw-in where the player's throwing it in actually like does a somersault using the ball as their catapult and slingshots the ball into the penalty area.
That's a great one.
The flip-over throw-in. Yeah, I like those a lot.
Boy, those are both really good answers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like your second one might just be because we hardly watch any soccer at all, and it might be more common than we think.
No, it's not. It's not all that common. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
The one that jumps to mind, which isn't, I don't think is a great answer, but it was one of my favorite moments was when Tom Brady did a surprise pooch punt once in a game, And it was more about the fact that he nailed it.
Yeah.
And he, like, the look on his face afterwards of just kind of like, oh, it was like a kid enjoying the sport for the first time in decades almost. Like, he just had this smile like, oh, look at that. That was something fun and new and novel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it despite all the other demons that gnaw at me and drive me to be as good fun. So I enjoyed that.
The quarterback pooch punt, that's a good one.
That's a very good.
It's going to be good. 10-40, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to say it was on third down. It was like a surprise pooch punt for strategic reasons. I can't remember the circumstances.
I guarantee if we ask Casario, he will be able to tell you the game, what quarter it was in, and the down and distance.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
He punted it on third down. Yep.
Dude, we had Casario on one time, and he's like, yeah, there's this one game in New England. And he's like, Julian had like 9 catches for 142 yards and blah, 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 blah. And Seth and I went and looked up the box. No, it was a listener who did.
Yeah.
A listener goes, we just looked up the box score. I just looked up the box score for that game. He is spot on. Like, the exact numbers, he was spot on.
I just like the idea that there's just numbers floating around his head.
Yes.
And he's just grabbing them periodically.
Good Will Hunting action. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Or Zach Galifianakis in the... Hi. Seth? Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a blistering coxswain to you. That's a word.
Oh, yes.
Don't worry about it. That's on our time.
That's an actual non-vulgar word.
That is the person who yells at the rowers to paddle in crew.
Yeah. Row.
Yeah, man. Real tough
job. A loud cone-shaped coxswain to you.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you very much.
Didn't need that last part.
No. Okay, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston.
Oh, breaking news.
What?
Hey, take this, Lopez. We've got it. Oh.
What is it?
Vikings are going to sign Jeff Okuda. There you go.
Oh, all right.
That was a womp womp.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.